this morning expecting to hear something new and something totally different, something that you've never heard before, especially those that have been around here before. This isn't the sermon. This isn't the one. But how many know the Word of God is quick and powerful? It's always cutting edge. I said the Word of God is always cutting edge. Can you say amen? How many can confess with me and say the Word of God is working mightily on the inside of me? How many know the Word of God makes all of the difference? If you've been around here with us over the last few months, I pray that there are many of you that have gotten, I want all of you, but many of you that have gotten hold of the power of the spoken Word in your life. You were born again when you spoke something that you believed. It initiated a life of faith. The just shall live by faith. And I'm telling you what, every day we live by faith. Are you here today? Because of His grace. How do you live by faith? You begin to speak the opposite of what the world dictates to you. You begin to speak the opposite of what the enemy dictates to you. God's got me. It may look like it's upside down and everything's backwards, but how many know the Word of God works? We see the example of Jesus led into the wilderness, and while there He is tempted by the devil and He tries to twist Scripture. You remember the story? We may look at that, probably not today. He tries to twist Scripture and use a religious mindset to think of the arrogance and the audacity to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that Jesus came back repeatedly, and I want you to notice something else. The devil didn't leave the first time. How many of you know in here there are many people, they get a hold of a little bit of faith and a little bit of knowledge, and they try it once and it doesn't work, and they say, well, I must have my understanding wrong, and they begin to change what the Word of God says to fit their experience. How many know our experience can vary all over the place, our emotions can be up and down and everywhere, but the Word of God, Peter said, lives and abides forever. It is the incorruptible seed of God's Word. It is true. You can take it to the bank every time. Now, if you don't know what the word means, there's a book I read years ago called Preventative Medicine. It was talking about getting the Word on the inside of you before the storm. How many know if you're in a storm, you're in pain, you're in struggle, you're in the middle of dark, dark territory, it's hard many times, especially when you're hurting, especially when you just feel just snowed under to believe God. Now, I didn't say you can't. You absolutely can. He's there with you. He's even in there with you in the messes of your own making. Psalms 23 says that He leads us beside still waters. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. But He also speaks of a place where we can walk. He didn't send us there, but yea, though I walk. He led me somewhere else. But I walked in the valley of the shadow of death. Even there in a place of my own making, I'll fear no evil. You didn't leave me. You didn't quit on me. You stayed with me. You're ever faithful. Your rod and your staff, even in my mess, if I'll dare to believe, will help me and strengthen me and help me to come through. How many are glad today for the Word of God? Hallelujah. He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Now, this morning, as I said, turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 4. And we mentioned last week that we were going to be spending a little bit of time here. As you've gotten a hold of the importance of speaking the Word, I want you to see, and we've mentioned this a number of times, that when you speak the Word of God, this is a way of planting seed. And the Word of God says that when you plant seed, the Word of God is incorruptible and it is eternal. We're going to look at some other scriptures that show the impact of the Word of God in our lives, if we'll dare to believe. But this morning, I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 1. And He began, Jesus, speaking of Jesus, and He began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto Him a great multitude, so that He entered into a ship and sat in the sea. I got to be right near where that actually happened in Israel. And it was all you could do to stand there and look at that without a big lump in your throat. Pretty awesome stuff. They say that acoustics, only the Son of God could have known. I mean, we see this odd behavior. The Sermon on the Mount, we saw actually where they have the whole recognition of the Sermon on the Mount, primarily something from the Catholic Church from centuries past, etc. But the actual place where it happened, the acoustics, they say, are perfect. They're unbelievable. They know that he actually sat and preached right there by the Sea of Galilee. Here's another instance of where he gets out on water and begins to preach. And through this is called a microphone before microphones existed. Everybody could hear him. Pretty interesting. And there was a gathering unto them a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them in his doctrine, hearken. How many know when Jesus says, pay attention, we ought to be paying attention? Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Hearken, pay attention. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up, and some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Let me just pause here just for a moment. I know we've heard a lot of stuff on TV and on the radio which relegates this passage to a money scripture. Now, I will tell you this. The scripture is clear. Proverbs 10, check me out, somebody, make sure I'm right. 10:20? 10:22? The blessing maketh rich. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing maketh, that's speaking of the blessing of God, the blessing of Abraham, the promise. It's not talking about blessings, it's talking about the blessing given to Abraham and to his heirs, that through whom the blessing. This is what Galatians 3:13 is referring to, and 14 and on, where Paul is revealing to a group that have gone back to the law, he's saying that we are redeemed from the curse of the law, Christ having been made a curse for us, right? For it is written. Are you here this morning? How many know the rest of it? Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, so that the blessing, here's the purpose, so that the blessing, can everybody shout the blessing? So that the blessing of Abraham would come upon the Gentile. This is our salvation as a whole. This isn't just stuff. It's not stuff. Stuff can happen as a result, for he is our provider. But this is what happened when things get off just a little bit. How many are glad for the blessing? I'm glad that the blessing causes you to have a full supply in every regard, including money. Paul dealt with that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, in which he referred to it as a grace founded in the old covenant, brought over into the new, fulfilled in Jesus. He literally, speaking of money, says he was made poor so that you could be made rich. That doesn't mean a multi-million-dollar home with an elevator in it and 6 airplanes or whatever it is that you got. What he means is a full supply, and explains what he's talking about in chapter 9, so that you will be able to abound in blessing to others when they come to you in need. How many can set that as a goal in your life? Say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. I'm not just blessed, I'm blessed for a purpose. I'm blessed, come on here today, I'm blessed to be a blessing. So the blessing absolutely brings dividends that are tangible and physical, but those are results. Fringe benefits of the blessing. The blessing is Jesus in me. And the result of that is the kingdom in me. All that he has is mine. All that I am is his. It changes, should change, the way that we live. How many are glad for the blessing today? All right. So it includes that. But so often we hear guys taking this and making it a financial scripture. And then they talk about 30, 60, and 100. And that if you'll be faithful, and if you'll do this, and if you'll do that, and it's all about what you sow, and if you give to us, and you give, you know, wholeheartedly, give the 100, and I'm, you know, right now, there's 58 of you. If you'll give $58 and be obedient to the Spirit, God's going to break loose, and He's going to cause a double anointing to come on your life, and debts are going to be canceled. Let me tell you something, the cross is where my debt was canceled. Can you say amen? The cross was where His anointing became mine. He who is the anointed lives on me. That's why 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 say, for those that have believed, there is an anointing on us and in us. Can you say amen? Turn to your neighbor, tap him, say, I'm anointed. You may not even know what you're saying yet, but I'm telling you, it's in the Word. Say, you're anointed. Now here's the harder part, and say, I am too. Got quieter. Come on, say it out loud. You are anointed. If you're born again, tell them, say, you're anointed, and I am too, because of Jesus in me. I think we can go on and say then that I'm the answer. But brother, Jesus is the answer. Well, duh, He's in you. Say, I'm the answer. No, I'm not, brother. It's Jesus in me. Hold on. Hold up. Acts 3. The gate, beautiful. Peter says, I don't have any silver or gold, but such as I have. He didn't say, well, I'm nobody, you know, don't look at me, but you know the Lord, you know, He'll. Peter said, Peter had gotten a hold of some things. Peter said, such as I have, give I thee. There. You know, refer to St. Peter. The other day we had a question. It was a very valid question for somebody who's grown in this stuff. He said, what is the scripture referring to when it talks about saints? He was raised Catholic. I said, well, it's anybody that's born again. He said, what do you mean? I said, anybody. He said, you're saying I'm a saint? I said, absolutely. And the Bible says over and over again, this is right, being written to the saints that are in, to the saints that are in. That means holy one. Called out, separated because of who you believe in, not necessarily because of what you do. My do is catching up with who I am. That's the renewing of the mind. How many are glad for Jesus today? Three of you. How many are glad for Jesus today? Peter said, such as I have, give I thee. This wasn't a saint, as we traditionally say. This is a man, hairy legged, fisherman, now born again, spirit-filled, a foul-mouthed fisherman, by the way. Three times cursed and swore and denied that he even knew Jesus. And Jesus wasn't embarrassed. He knew what was coming up. He said, Peter, Satan sought to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. Aren't you glad when we blow it big time, He never quits? How faithful He is. As long as we don't quit, He never quit. Isn't that something? And who's the guy he picks? I would have picked John for the day of Pentecost. I'd have picked John. I didn't know who Jesus picked for the opening scene of the church in the book of Acts. 3,000 added to the body, preaching the gospel with power and anointing and authority, quoting the prophet Joel and saying, this is that which he spoke. It was Peter. Impetuous. Cuts the ear off the shoulder. Taking things into his own hand. Hypocritical. Even after the day of Pentecost, Paul has to go to him in Galatians 1. He talks about it. Has to go to him and say, listen, man, you're being a hypocrite. You're saying one thing and doing another. That was the guy that God said, I'm going to use him to open the ball. Can you raise both hands this morning and say, there must be room for me? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? God's not embarrassed by your mess. He's the mess fixer, the rebuilder, the rewarder. And He does it through the anointing that rests on His Word. I'm very glad for that. I don't know how I got into all that. But Peter said, such as I have. Say, I'm anointed. And so are you. Praise the Lord. Turn to somebody one more time. I'm anointed. We gotta start thinking different because of what Jesus has done in our lives. We always talk about somebody else that is anointed. We hear people abusing Old Testament scripture to keep the flock in shape and underfoot and to force people. Don't touch God's anointed. You better watch out. God will get you. God will get you stuff ended with Jesus. He got Jesus full bore. He was in our place. All the getting is gotten. It's over. He fully absorbed all the wrath of God for sin for us. There ain't no God gonna get you. Are you here this morning? He's for us, Paul said, and not against us. Isn't that great? Good news. Good news. Yeah. Now, sin will get you still. I mean, no, sin's stupid. And like Brother Womack says, and if you sin, stupid, God still loves you. Anyway, stupid. So get unstupid by renewing your mind and get out of that. But God no longer, if you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He sees you as complete. Read your Bible, Colossians 1, complete in Him who is the head of all principality. Now He's given us the Holy Spirit to help us in this life begin to rise above the things that try to hold us back. It's been flipped around. How many are glad for the grace of God today? Maybe eight of you. How many are glad for the grace of God today? He doesn't quit on us. Peter said, such as I have, give I thee. Such as I have, give I thee. Say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. This thing of 30, 60, and 100 is the result of what is the condition of my heart? Do I have as good of a receiver as I do a giver? How many know the Bible does say it's more blessed to give than to receive in a certain context? But do you know that the best givers, this is revealed in Scripture, I don't have time to amplify this morning, so I probably shouldn't be saying it, but the best givers, the ones that give, like a child. You ever run into a child and find somebody they love and mom and dad just bought them this $120 battery-powered fancy four-wheel drive vehicle and they're trying to give it to their friend. And the parent, well, that won't work. That, like a child. You know, the best givers are good receivers. David said, how shall I? In Psalms, how shall I repay you for all that you've done for me? He said, I'm going to lift up my cup and take some more. The best way you can compliment God and thank Him for what He's done in your life is to be a child and simply receive more. Am I glad for that today? So the best givers are good. Are you a good receiver? What is the condition of the soil of your heart? Now, I have to be very careful here because we can go right back to a legalistic law state of mind in which says it's all about you arranging your life and making sure you cross all your T's and dot all your I's and make sure the soil of your heart. And if it's not, this is a thing called letting the soil of your heart be prepared. How many know as you grow, you discover areas in your heart? Now, I'm talking about your spirit, man, that's born again and just like Jesus, but in your heart, the seat of your thinking, what you truly believe. You know, knee-jerk belief. I mean, it just pops out of you before you even give thought what you really actually believe. How many know that can be renewed? It absolutely can. You heard me tell the story many times of when I was almost killed, how that my wife was there on the scene, and what came out of her wasn't, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, why? What came out of her was tongues and the name of Jesus flowing like a fountain. And to this day, they do not know why a femoral artery and a femoral vein that were completely severed in two and curled back up, 4 points curled back up inside my femur as I laid there with a compound fracture, cut through my pants, back the other direction. I won't get into, if you're new, you don't know the testimony, I don't have time to go into all that right now. But I will tell you this, they have no clue to this day why all four of those points clotted and why I'm alive. Let me tell you something, there's power in the name of Jesus because He is the living Word. He is the Logos, John said, sent from God. That anointing rests on Him and what He says. And when we adopt what He says and make it part of our life and let it roll out of our mouth, that's incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever. It makes all the difference. How many are glad today for the Word of God? Hallelujah. What's the condition of the soil of my heart? This is not speaking of the condition of what you look like before the Father through Jesus. This is speaking right here on planet Earth, me letting His work in my life cause the blessing of God to come to me and to flow through me for others. What's the condition of your heart? Now, in context, what Jesus was talking about, speaking to the Jewish nation, is can you open up your heart and receive the gospel? That's the context. We understand that. But we still see here how the kingdom of God works. How do we know that? Because Jesus says it in the same chapter. Here's how the kingdom of God works. It cannot be circumvented. In an age, we covered that a couple of weeks. We talked about the shortcut. In an age of shortcuts, there is no shortcut to seed, time, and harvest. So how many know it's important to get that seed down, planted on the inside of your heart? Years ago, this is in Guatemala, I think I was 17 or 18. And we live way, way back up in the highlands, up in the pines, beautiful area of Guatemala, below the volcano of Santa Maria, not the one we saw that just blew, that was about 3 hours away. But worked among the Mam and Quiche Indian tribes. And there was a group of churches. Well, let me just back up and put it this way. We had about, through a given year, we had somewhere in the area of, I would say, between 25 and 30 groups a year. At that time, my parents were working with Jim Zirkle, Living Water Teaching. We still support his daughter, Kim, and her husband that are there, and mother, Marion. Jim has since gone on to be with the Lord. But at that time, this work was beginning to really grow. A number of missionary families and singles were there. The ministry was growing quite a bit. And we would set up and do tent crusades all over the mountains in that backcountry. One of the things we would do, we had a team that began to formulate that was, they did evangelistic efforts towards the kids. They had a whole separate kids tent. And take all these little old Guatemalan Indian kids and herd them in there, and they show a film and share Jesus and talk to them about the Lord, sometimes through two interpreters. But they were great and fun times. I don't know how many tents I've set up and torn down. And so I was about 17, 18 years of age. Well, I remember we went to this one place, and the kids were, for whatever reason, were particularly kind of wild. And I remember somebody had the brainy idea, you know what we'll do is we're going to bring out some big bags of confite. This is just hard candy, like hard tack candy. Just old, like scotch, butterscotch type candies and that sort of thing. So they brought out this big bag of candies. And what they thought they'd do is while we were setting up the tent and people were traveling through the neighborhoods and announcing the meeting and different things, they would pull the kids out there and give them some candies and tell them when the, show them the kids' tent and explain everything to them, kind of calm things down. And bad mistake. I'll never forget, somebody sat down on the tailgate of a pickup. They had a big bag of candy. It was a guy visiting us from Texas, I believe. And he said, just take off driving. There are all these kids scattered throughout the field, and they'd seen all the goings-on, something that never happened in their area, you can imagine. And so he started handing out a couple candies, and the next thing they came in, it was like a herd of buffalo. After a while, I was cracking up. I was watching that truck. It picked up speed, and he's just trying to do this. And after a while, he's standing up on the tailgate. There's older boys now clamoring up on the thing. They're clawing at him, tearing at his shirt. After a while, I saw that guy standing up, and he literally was taking chunks of candy. He didn't know what to say. He didn't know Spanish. He's taking chunks of candy, and he's throwing them at the kids to kind of pop them to get them to back off so he can. It went from sowing in love to throwing. He was just getting rid of it. Not much love there. I mean, it started as love, but after a while, I was like, I got to do what I got to do, get out of here alive. Aren't you glad God doesn't throw his seed at us? In fact, you see something here in Mark 4, we'll look at in just a moment, maybe. Mark chapter 4, we see something very beautiful. Jesus depicts, of course he's speaking of himself, and prophetically, I believe, of you and I in this day and age who ought to be sowers of the word. But he's not looking. How many of you ever heard this before? You better be careful about where you sow seed. You better sow seed in good ground. You sow seed in bad ground, you're going to reap bad results. Now, I get the context, but that whole mentality can get you in trouble. Because sowing seed, what Jesus was doing, he was doing out of love. Remember, this is, he's giving a picture, a beautiful picture of who he was. Who was he? What was he about? John 3:16. God so loved the world that he sowed a seed, the ultimate. And that seed, like every seed that has life in it, was planted in the ground. It had to die first before life would spring forth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but would have. Not gonna have, but have. How do I know that? John says, we are called the sons of God, and we have now eternal life. If those of you that were saying, I'm anointed and you're anointed, you need to realize that eternal life is already in you. It's not a place. It's a state that happened by your profession of faith in Jesus Christ. How about it? I'm very glad for Jesus today. Hallelujah. Okay. So we see here the sower sows a word. What's he doing? He's taking. You remember Hebrews 1? Didn't say the power of his word that all things were created by. It was the word of his power. Oh man, that changes everything. And what Jesus is doing, he is scattering the word of his power. And one of the things that I didn't notice until recently is it didn't matter to him where it fell. In fact, if you study that time, they prepared the soil. In fact, it was very minimally prepared. They scattered seed and then harrowed it in. And there's different ways in the Mediterranean, even to date, in some places it's that way. He scattered seed. He wasn't just scattering only in good ground, in fully prepared ground. The love of God. Come on, you hear this morning? He cast it. He'll take the risk on stony ground. Doesn't bother him. He'll take the risk on the byway. Doesn't bother him. He'll take the risk. He plants. Aren't you glad for the love of God? How many heard the love of God the first time when your heart was stony? But you went through some things. And your heart began to soften. And there came a day when that was cast again. And seed took root, and your life has changed because of it. I'm very glad for that. Now, before we get into too much of that, and I don't know if we'll get into that much this morning. Anyway, we'll see how our time goes. I want you to just jump forward with me very quickly. As we've been talking about this, how many can say that you're in a battle right now? On some level or another. You're in a battle. Well, that's wonderful. Not everybody is. And you've been standing on the Word of God. And there have been a few times when you've backed up. You know, I remember Brother Womack sharing a while back talking about the seed of God's Word. And he said, so often we're guilty, and it's true, of planting the Word of God in our heart or allowing it to be planted in our heart. And then when something doesn't happen immediately, we go and dig up the seed to see if it's working, and in so doing, we destroy it. We give up. We don't give it time. Seed, time, and harvest. It's God's way of working in the kingdom. He talks about that. How many know that is truth? Okay, but I also want you to know an encompassing truth to this whole subject, especially because of Jesus. When I fail, when I dig up seed, when I blow it, he doesn't leave. Jump forward, if you would. Now, we're going to go back and look at soil, soil the heart, but I want to make sure that we're talking about the right thing. I don't want anybody to walk out here and say, boy, I've got a lot of work to do. Hold the phone. It depends on what you mean by work. If your labor is the beautiful labor of entering into his rest by acquiring more knowledge of his word and let it being seated in your heart, that's a good work. But if you're talking about do, don't do, if you're talking about Colossians 2, touch not, taste not, handle not, if you're talking about Sabbath days, holy days, do this, do that, the other, ordinances right on down the line, or whatever self-imposed law you have to make you feel better before God, you're already in trouble. Your faith in Jesus was enough. He did the work on the inside of you. The more you see what he's done, the more it will be reflected on the outside. I know I beat that to pieces every time I preach, but you know there's always somebody new that's hearing it for the first time. I always hear about it. So you just sit back and enjoy and pray for those that are hearing it maybe for the first time. Okay, so here we go. All right. So looking at this, I want you to jump all the way down to verse 35. Now we're going to leave just for a moment. We see the scene of the sower. Jesus is preaching now. He's standing out in a boat. People are lined up along the shore. He's preaching and he's speaking of himself and he's talking about the sower sows the word. But I want you to know, jump forward, if you would, a little bit. And he talks about, of course, he's talking about the sower sows the word. He talks about different types of soil conditions and what takes place. Now, jumping forward, look at 35. 35 says, and the same day, everybody say the same day. This is on the same day this happens right now. Okay, so the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, how many ever received a word from God that was so clear? It may not have been audible. It may have been. But it was so clear. You knew it was the Lord. When he spoke into you, it didn't incite fear. And I want to challenge, if it incited fear, that's not God. Every word of God that comes, everything we see in the Old Testament, does he says, stand up, look at me, don't fear, fear not. Now, I didn't say there won't be some trembling of the flesh. Like, oh my goodness. But when he speaks, it should lift you and strengthen you. Pick your eyes up. See something higher and further and deeper. That's how he operates. He's always calling us higher. From glory to glory. From glory to glory. Okay. How many ever heard a word from God? How many after a few days, a few months, a few years? You'd think back of that word and you'd say, will it ever happen? How many have been in the middle of one of the worst storms of your life? And you said, man, why did I ever believe this nonsense? Ever since I heard that and began to stand on it, it seems like all I've had is trouble. I know why you're looking at me like that. If I were there, I'd be looking that way too, because we've all been there. You may have never seen that before, but if you've got a red letter edition like I do, the Word, the Logos sent from God, opens his mouth and tells his disciples, let us go to the other side. Now, that may not look like a promise to you, but here in a few minutes, it's going to be a promise. Look at what happens. He says, this is on the same day that he's talking about the sower and how the kingdom of God works. On the same day, he tells them, let us go. I want you to see that phrase right there as something very different maybe than you've ever seen before. The Word of God opened his mouth, spoke a word, which is likened unto seed. It was done. Let us go to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. There was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. You know, we read it in King James with our religious goggles on, and we, you know, have flannel graph memories, or if you're younger, you know, TV or slide show memories of this, and it all kind of turns it into kid stories. Think of the reality of what's going on here. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. You ever been in a really, really bad storm? I'll never forget outside of Nashville, Tennessee. I didn't know it, but I went right through the edge of a tornado. It was all announced later. I remember I didn't know whether to stop. I couldn't see anything. It came up so fast. It came across from behind. It was pouring down rain, and I was trying to get back to one of my uncle's places. And I remember the next thing you know, I could not see anything. There was so much water coming on my windshield. I was afraid to stop in case somebody was behind me. I had no idea where the road was at. And I began to call on the name of Jesus. I mean, it was incredible. And my old Ford pickup was just being tossed around like nothing. Finally, I felt the wheels drop off the edge of the curb. And I felt myself kind of softly roll into grass down in a soft ditch beside a pasture. And when everything cleared, as far as I could see in both directions, every single telephone pole had been snapped over. I was between two that were snapped over, laying in front of me and in back of me with the power lines over in this direction. You remember that? That's a bad storm. Another storm I remember, because we were just talking about this in light of the news, and please be in prayer for those precious people in Guatemala. What an incredible thing, something that we felt it mightily in the Northwest. I pray God it never happens again. Most of us here have never experienced anything like that. Please do be in prayer for them. No doubt many. I mean, that place is heavily evangelized. I have no doubt there were believers in that deal. A sad, sad thing. I'll never forget, though, we were climbing the volcano Santa Maria, my dad and I, another missionary and his nephew. And somebody, there's a pretty, not too well marked for the few tourists that ventured to do it. There were a few little signs that directed you to a path that went up the left side of the volcano. And you'd work your way up, and it's about a 4.5-hour hike if you went this way. Well, somebody had played a joke on us the day we went up there. We'd heard you could do it. And they had red arrows pointing off around to the right. And long story short, it took us close to 9 hours to get up side of that mountain. Rougher and all get out. We ran into a herd of wild cattle. I'll never forget my dad. That was the funniest and yet most terrifying thing, to see that big old steer or bull coming around the side, just a huffing and a blowing, and I mean just coming right in at my dad's britches. And that by that time we were out of the tree, above the tree line, and into this heavy thick tundra type grass, but up on the side of this volcano. And I heard him praying like a freight train in other tongues, and clawing and pulling. He had a machete. It was funny and yet terrible all at the same time. Well, that wasn't bad. By the time we get past all that, we're starting to get up. Seemed like we're never going to get to the top of this thing. The biggest explosion off the back of that volcano, which there's still to date, it's called Santiaguito. It's literally a hole blown out of the back side of it that happened, I don't know, a couple hundred years ago or more. I don't remember the whole history, but it's been every 30 to 40 minutes to date, the back side of this volcano spews lava and runs down the hill. You can go down there. We've been on the hanging bridge and look down where all the lava runs every day. And it'll It'll blow, you know, like I said, every 30 to 40 minutes. Well, the day that we were there, of course, was one of the worst explosions or eruptions that they'd had in eons, and we were there. I mean, that thing began to shake, and a gas cloud come around the side, which will kill you like that, if you know anything about it, came around the side of that mountain, and I've never seen anything quite like that. That cloud was coming around the top of that thing. I mean, around the side of that. First, we didn't know what was going on. We knew there'd been a big explosion. We just figured being up on the volcano, it fell different. We didn't know history was being made while we're up there. So this thing's coming around, and when that huge, I'll never forget it, dark purple, blue, I can't even describe to you what that cloud looked like. It's a gas cloud. We didn't know that. And there was lightning on the inside of this thing just popping and circulating. It was pretty crazy. A very, very scary, scary day. My dad, I didn't know till later. He knew what it was. And he was praying protection over us, didn't want to scare us. He said, guys, we got to move. We got to get away from that. We started, scurrying around this way as that thing was coming around. It kind of stopped. The wind changed, and it began to blow off the other direction. That was a bad storm. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Have you been through a few internal storms that exceed any of that? Are you in a storm right now? This was a real storm. They're in trouble. They're in trouble to the degree that even after Jesus said, let us go, he's in the boat, let us go to the other side. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, listen to the first thing that came out of their mouth. He'd been preaching about the seed of God's word. He let go of a promise. We're going to the other side. But the first thing out of their mouth is, don't you care? Have you ever felt like that? You ever felt like lifting your head heavenward and saying, where are you? Don't you care? How long? Listen to what they say. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. Now, I don't know where your theology is on all this. I don't believe God sends any kind of evil to test you. And I have good premise for that. In James 1, God is not tempted or tried with evil. This is your Bible. Neither tempts or tries he any man with evil. How we know we live in a fallen world. Evil exists. The world is under a curse. Sin and the results of it are here. But for those of us who will get hold of the Word of God, we can rise above victorious. How many are glad for that? But I want you to see something else here that's very precious. Look at what he says. He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He rebuked the wind. James 4:7. Submit to God. You here today? Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We see Jesus stopping and rebuking. Could it be there was an unseen force behind that that's coming in quickly to steal the word? Is that adding too much to what's here? I don't think so. He arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why? I don't know about you, but if I were there, I would have been tempted to think, except it's him. it's him. He's here. I don't know how much of that they grasp, but I'd be like, that is a really dumb question, Lord. What are you talking about? Come on, can we get real? He's okay with us being real. That is a really dumb question. I mean, I know you're the smartest of the smart, but what in the world? Look at what he says. And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And he called one of the other ships, remember, because there were other ships, over, and he said, I'm done with these guys. I'm moving on to somebody else's boat. I've drilled it and drilled it and drilled it, and I'm done. I'm going to get in another ship, and we're going to head over. Aren't you glad that when we fail big time, he remains faithful, Paul told Timothy. He taught them a lesson. They were tested immediately, and they failed. Come on, are you here this morning? Are you listening to what I'm saying? They were tested immediately, regardless of your doctrine. God, devil, whatever, doesn't matter. They were tested immediately, and they failed. And yet Jesus did not consider them failures. He hung with them to the end. He continued to teach. He continued to do the very thing that was going over their head for the most part. Sow the word into the lives of 11 who would change the world. Every time we sit in here, irregardless of Lee Shaw, don't you ever believe anything Bubba says? Because I said it. You check it out with the Word of God for you. I am not your Jesus. I am not your Lord. I've been given a mandate as a pastor to feed and protect, and I do that through the Word of God. But it's up to you individually to study, to compare, and to allow a spoken word become a rhema, a revelation in your heart. And when that happens, you move from just a knowledge. Turn very quickly. Keep your finger in that place. Turn very quickly to Psalms 119, verse 130. Psalms 119, verse 130. Are you blessed this morning? Isn't this great stuff? Hallelujah. Maybe somebody needs to lift your hands in here to say, thank you, Lord, you haven't quit on me. You spoke such beautiful things. I got a hold of it for a while. But life happened. And I found myself in a boat shouting at God. You want to know something? He's not mad at you. He's still there, the teacher. Why didn't you have faith? He didn't get out of the boat. They continued on. How he loved those guys. Young guys. You realize that, don't you? You realize he was a little over 33 when he died. In the flesh. Young guys. He stuck with them. Psalms 119, verse 130. Notice it doesn't say the word that you agree with, that you consent to, that you recognize. Notice it doesn't just say the word that you read, or even the word that you hear. This morning, there are those in here. You'll hear this. Your heart will be encouraged. You'll start by Tuesday. Lord, carest thou not that we perish? And I'm not going back to that place. That's not true. It doesn't work. It has nothing to do with this place. If you're holding this in your lap, this is the word of God, Peter said, that liveth and abideth forever. Would you say with me one more time? The Word of God works mightily on the inside of me. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Notice that it's not just the Word that you hear. I want to ask the question again. It's so easy for many of us to give, because in the giving, we're still in control. Now, it is more blessed to give than to receive in a certain context. In other words, not being selfish, having a transformed heart. Your desire is to be a blessing and to bless others. We got that. But that is preceded by a receiving of what you could never deserve, what got your whole life in Christ started. You heard the gospel, Romans 10. Some of you need to write these scriptures down. You need to be aware of these, know where they're at. Romans 10, 17 says that faith to believe unto salvation comes through the continual hearing of the word of, the Latin Vulgate says, Christ, not God. But Christ, that doesn't mean that it's not God. What he's saying is that he's talking about the word that is now revealed, the old now revealed in the new, the word of the new covenant, Christ the anointed one. Ecclesiastes is not going to help you out much unless you're looking back at it, seeing Jesus, because that is now all fulfilled in what is now no longer types and shadows and symbols, but he is with us. I'm glad for Jesus today. Yes. Hallelujah. Notice what it says here. It says the entrance. When those, many times people give because they're in control, but they have a hard time. Well, I don't need nothing. I've even heard people say, well, I don't ever ask for anything for my needs. You know, I'm just about helping others. I don't ask for, actually, that's a form of pride. It's a form of pride. Can you receive today? Can you receive today? So many of us. I've known so many relationships where there were people that were big givers, but in that big giving, there was an attempt to control. But when you tried to give to them, they were offended. What do you think I am, poor? Stupid? They didn't say that. Now, we're not picking on things or trying to make it personal. What I'm talking about is a condition of the heart. Jesus said we've got to become like a child. Part of this childlike faith is just, if it's from you, it's good, I'll take it. And if somebody decides to bless you, shut your mouth and smile and say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. When you get in private, thank you, Lord. And watch as other people will get jealous and mad and say, who does he think he is? He's getting that because of so-and-so, and it's not right. And I've worked so hard, and you'll get criticism. Trust me, everybody's not going to be running you going, well, how'd you do that, man? That's awesome. No, they're not going to be doing that. They're going to be criticizing you because you have some things. I mean, it's not about things. Those are expressions. I don't know how many times it's happened to me in life. All I did was say, Lord, I'd sure like to have such and such. Jackie, I want a house that's this way. It wasn't a demand. It wasn't selfish. It wasn't anything. How many know God is interested in our needs? No, it's all about spiritual things. Oh, really? Really? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these. Say what? What things? Houses? Food? Raiment? He's saying you shouldn't even waste faith on that stuff. You just seek me first. That'll just kind of happen like a wake behind a boat. If you're trusting me. Use your faith on stuff like, greater things shall you do in my name. Dare to open up your mouth right there in your shop and say, I'll pray for you. I just prayed for once, and something supernatural happened. And don't worry if nothing happens. Leave the results up to him. I guarantee you're going to see more. You're going to see more shots in the hoop if you're shooting. In the meantime, we're growing. The disciples, he was working with them. How he loved them. sowed seed right out of the chute. They blew it. He said, and then why are you so fearful? You know another way he could have said that? Didn't I tell you, let's go to the other side? I'm here, dudes. Wow. I don't know about you, but that gives me great hope. That leads to great faith that He is with me. It reminds me again of one of my favorite verses, Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I'll not fear. It goes on to say what man can do unto me, but I like to just stop it right there at fear. It's perfect. I'll not fear. I'm very glad for Jesus today. All over the room, can you forget? Lay your Bible down in your lap for a minute. Let's worship. Oh, man. Some of you have been struggling. You feel like a failure. You've been standing in faith. And it hasn't happened. And you've cried out. Now you're self-condemning because it was your voice that you heard saying, don't you care? But I want you to be encouraged and know the love. He's still in the boat. The storm calmer, the keeper of our heart, He's still there with you, and the promise is still there. Get your eye back on the other side. He has said, therefore He will perform it. The logo standing in a boat said, we're going to the other side. I know that's a lot to grasp. We get home and the battle hits. I get that. That's what I'm saying here. Don't let the devil take a truth that is to set you free. Are you here this morning? And turn it around and make it, if you can't hang in there like with faith, then you're a failure. No, you're not. You're in good company. At this point, a group of 12, 11 of whom would change the world. I'm glad for Jesus today. Amen. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? Woo! What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey Him. And I love the next verse found in the next chapter. And they came over unto the other side. Woo! Come on, are you here this morning? Say, because of Him, if I won't quit, this too. My same message from last week has come to pass. Yeah, but Pastor Lee, I wasn't knocked down twice, three times. I mean, he's hammering. Doesn't change. His love, His word, His ability to stick with you. Man, I wanted to get a lot further along this morning. But it's 25 till, at least according to that, 26, and I'm done. Let this morning be an encouragement to your hearts. To strengthen you. There's not some litmus test from God that if you can't get it right, hold your tongue just right, and stand in faith just right, and even with the whole message of grace, if we're not careful, we'll go right back to, I'm a failure because I can't seem to grasp all of this just right. You remember the Word of God is still true. It hasn't changed. His Word to you and a seed that was dropped into your heart, don't ever back up on it. You stand firm. Are you here today? His word is true. We'll have to do it next week. I was going to go through a bunch of scriptures that talk about what his word is. That was one of them. We'll look at it again. David said, "Thy word," going back several weeks ago, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Let me take that Old Testament scripture, which carries with it a lot of condemnation and other things. Beautiful promise, but under an old covenant. Let me take that and move it forward. Paul says, now under the new covenant, whatever is not of faith is sin. Is that stretching context too much? I don't think so. So over here now in the new covenant, I hear the words of prophet, psalmist, and king. And certainly, that priestly thing was going on there. And I don't have time to go into all that. But I hear the words of David now, prophetically speaking forward. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that faith begins to build, begins to rise above. The next time I'm in a boat and the storm hits, I might stand up with him, look at him and hear what he's saying, and me too. What he said, me too. After a while, it's calming, and he's looking at me, grinning. He's going, yeah, not so great a faith have I seen in Israel. He said to a centurion that said, speak the word, and that'll be enough. Oh, man, I'm getting fired up right now. I could go another hour. Listen, the beauty of the word in your heart and in your mouth. Listen, I don't care how old you are, what you've been through, or how you're struggling right now. It's never too late to swing your leg back over that bicycle again. Kick it in forward motion. Start pedaling and trusting your balance. Listen, if you're wrecked, get back up and get going again. You remember when you were four? And trust that God is there with you to help you. And oh man, my heart is full, but I got to stop. Can I pray for you right there where you're sitting? Have you been blessed this morning? I don't mean by me. I trust I'm not that arrogant. Has the word of God encouraged you today? Are you encouraged in your struggle? That's not a lack of faith to say that. That's stinky faith teaching that says you should never be in a struggle. That's goofy. But we can rise above. The next time, maybe the third time I'm in the boat, might be the fourth time, might be the tenth for a guy like me, but someday I'm going to stand up and go, hey, I rebuke you. Yeah, me too. And there'll come a day when they'll send me in my own boat with my own little group of men and women. And the storm will come and I can stand and say, I've been there. I've seen how faithful he is. Watch this. Psalms 120 says he sent his word and he healed them. Don't let stupid, mean religion convince you that God's using disaster for some unknown reason. It's already done. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. There's anointing on that word right now. All you got to do is not be proud and say, I'll take it. I'm as good of a receiver. In fact, I'm changing. Some of you in here, by the Spirit of God, I challenge you, change. Listen, we're told that we're transformed by a change in your mind. The Spirit thing is a done deal. If we'll just adjust here, that's all about receiving. I challenge you today by the grace of God, let there be a change in your mind that begins to say, I'm a better receiver than I am a giver. Therefore, I'll be the best giver around. not talking about just money and stuff. I'm talking about a heart, a phone call, a smile, a touch in a grocery store, wherever that is, letting Jesus be seen. I still believe we got a place right here in Chino. I still believe this little church, along with many others that we pray for, still has a purpose and it counts. Believe God with us. Pray for us. Give as the Spirit leads you. Let's make a difference in our area and in the area around. I'm going to pray for you. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for each and every one that is here. Father, I thank you that today's word is sweet ointment on what for some has been a wound. How we've loved you and trusted you, and yet we were tempted to be angry with you. Where have you been? What happened? Why? And those words come up and we hear ourselves saying things that in our heart we know are not true, and it's not even what we really think. Father, I thank you today for the sweet presence of God. The same healing anointing that heals bodies heals hearts. Father, I thank you today for a supernatural work, even as I'm talking right now all over this room. Oh, man, the sweet anointing that is on your word, healing hearts, settling the waters for the peace of God that passes all understanding. Father, we thank you for that today. If you believe that, would you just right there where you're sitting, reach up and say, I'll take it. That's for me. Come on, I'll take it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together as we continue to pray and are dismissed. Altars are open this morning. I will remain here to pray with and agree along with several others to pray with and agree with you. How many have been blessed this morning? How many got a new resolve in Jesus? I can't wait till we get into the different types of soil. Because what will happen is now, because of the love of God, we can identify some things and begin to overcome some things. How many of you know whatever you're not willing to admit, it's impossible for you to overcome it? Amen? How many know we are overcomers because of His love for us? So, Father, we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, let your people this week be blessed. Let this word continue to tumble through their hearts and their mind. Encouragement and strength. And would you say it with me today? Thank you, Lord, for divine appointments. Divine appointments. Divine appointments with people that need to know you. People that need your touch. People that can change my direction. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week in Jesus. As we continue to worship, altars are open.